Part two, welcome again to our prophetic school. This is part two. I originally planned to do this teaching on Wednesday evening, and unfortunately I announced it to my local church for Wednesday evening, but then I found out that Wednesday I'll be flying to Tampa, Florida to minister, and it'd be a great time to get out of this cold weather in Chicago, and I'll return Saturday, so I had to do it tonight, Monday night. And usually I'll try to do this on a Wednesday evening, but I want to thank all of those who've tuned in and are part of this second prophetic school teaching. And for those who did not have a chance to view the first one, I want to encourage you to go on my page, JohnEckhartMinistries.com page, and you can look at that particular teaching after this one. I did some foundational sharing on the subject of the prophetic, and today I'm going to go in a different realm. I'm going to teach on Nataf, and I'll explain to you exactly what that word means. And of course, I also want to encourage those who are viewing, if you've not yet read this particular book called God Still Speaks, it is a book that I wrote on the subject of the prophetic. It covers a lot of teaching on the prophetic, including prophets, personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic presbytery, different realms of the prophetic, and it's so much that I could not be able to cover in one or two teachings on the on this program. So I encourage you to get a copy of that particular book. You can go to our website at JohnEckhartMinistries.com. Don't have to do it now. Do it after the teaching. Order the copy. It's only $10 for a $10 donation, and we'll get it to you. You can read it and study. And I know that some people are more advanced in the area of the prophetic than others. Some, this may be something completely new to you. Maybe in your church there's not a strong prophetic flow, or maybe in your city there's not a strong prophetic flow. But we're finding that all over the world, more and more people are coming into an understanding of prophetic ministry, personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, the different realms of the prophetic, prophetic teams, prophetic worship, prophetic intercession. And it's exciting to see so many people being exposed in this hour to the prophetic. So I want to again encourage you to keep viewing these programs. I know that if you listen to me on a consistent basis, that your life is going to be changed and you're going to be transformed by the teaching. The prophetic ministry is something I was exposed to in 1989. So I've been involved in the prophetic for about 25 years now, and it's been one of the most satisfying, blessed part of my ministry. In traveling to over 80 nations on five continents, I have found out that people are the same. They want to hear the voice of God. They want to hear the prophetic words spoken over their lives. And we've had the privilege of prophesying over thousands of people in 80 different nations, sending teams, going personally, and it's been one of the most satisfying parts of ministry. And then my local church, Crusaders Church of Chicago, we've been blessed by the prophetic ministry for those 25 years. We've seen the prophetic in our church bless countless numbers of people, and we teach on it, we practice it, we operate in it, we release prophets, we raise up prophetic people, we activate, we impart, we do our best to expose our members to the prophetic, and we do our best to teach them the proper teaching from the Bible on the subject of the prophetic ministry. Now, there's several words in the Old Testament that are used or translated as prophecy or prophet. One of the most common words is the word Nabi, and you spell that N-A-B-I, Nabi. And the word Nabi means to bubble up or to spring forth. And one of the ways that the prophetic word begins to come forth is that it really begins to bubble up like a spring inside of you, and it begins to come forth. You can feel it stirring. Sometimes when I'm standing before people and I begin to prophesy, I feel it stirring up and bubbling up, and it begins to come forth. Jesus likened the Spirit of God to a river. He said, "He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So it's like a spring. It's like a river. It begins to bubble up. Sometimes it begins to stir. The word of the Lord begins to stir inside of you. That is the most common word for prophet in the Old Testament, the word Nabi, N-A-B-I. There's another word I'm going to talk about today that may not be people may not be as familiar with, and that's the word nataf. And you spell that N-A-T-A-P-H, nataf. And that word means to drop. And in the Bible, either the word would drop upon the prophet, like rain dropping from heaven, or the prophet would drop a word. And so the prophetic is like rain. It's like when heaven drops rain, the Lord drops his word upon people. So we're going to discuss that particular aspect of the prophetic. Sometimes the word bubbles up inside of you and it springs forth. Sometimes the word drops from heaven upon you. Often this dropping that comes from heaven occurs in an atmosphere of strong worship. And there's a real strong connection between worship music and prophecy. As a matter of fact, Samuel, one of the ways he trained emerging prophets in Israel was to train them through music. And so when he ordained Saul to be the first king of Israel, he told Saul that you're going to meet a company of prophets coming down from the hill with a tabret, a pipe, and a harp, and they shall prophesy. And so often music was the way that the prophetic was stirred. We know that Elisha called for a minstrel. And when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he began to prophesy. We know that David, one of Israel's greatest prophets, was also a psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he would often prophesy as he played the harp. So there is a connection between music, worship, and prophecy. Often when we begin to worship and the presence of God begins to come through our worship, the Lord begins to drop songs from heaven upon people. He begins to drop his word. And often our singers, our prophets, can then release what God drops from heaven. And that's the word nataf, N-A-T-A-P-H. It means to drop. Now, there's a verse I want to share with you. It's found in Psalms 68 and verse number 8. And this entire article that I'm going to be reading, you can actually access the entire article by going to my blog at johneckhartministries.com, and it's called Songs from Heaven, Nataf. And it'll give you the same article I'm reading from, and you can review it, study it again. But let me read this particular verse for you. Psalm 68 and verse number 8. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Notice again, the heavens also dropped, that's the Hebrew word nataf, at the presence of God. So when God's presence comes, heaven drops. I'm going to say that again. When God's presence is in a church, in a service, upon an individual, in worship, heaven drops. Now, when you read the King James translation, and it says the heavens dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai, it's really a picture of rain falling from heaven. But the word dropped, again, is the Hebrew word nataf, N-A-T-A-P-H. Now, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it means to drop, to distill, or to drip. It means to distill gradually. And I want you to notice that, to distill gradually. It's like it builds up. It's like when heaven begins to drop rain. The way we know that precipitation is caused by evaporation of rain, of water that goes to heaven. It distills in the clouds, and then it drops. But it does it gradually. There's a gradual buildup from the oceans. It goes to the clouds, and then it drops upon the land. And so it says, again, it means to drop, to drip, to distill gradually. It means to prophesy, preach. It means to have a discourse, to drop, or prophecy. It means to drip or to ooze. So if you look that word up in the Strong's Concordance, it mentions twice the word prophecy and the word prophesy. So the word nataf not only means to drip or drop or fall from heaven, it actually means to prophesy. So another way you can say this is that the prophetic word falls at the presence of the Lord when God's presence comes. Now, I am a firm believer that every church should have strong worship, and every church should have a strong presence of God. And the reason why often the prophetic level is so low in our churches is because we really don't press into worship and have a culture of loving the presence of God. One of the situations we have in our country is that sometimes churches are rushed for time. They may have two or three services. Maybe the service time is limited, maybe an hour, hour and a half. So they'll sing a few songs. They'll sing a few fast songs, a couple of worship songs, and cut it because they have to have the preached word. And there's really not a time for a gradual distilling of the word. And then often churches don't have time to really spend quality time in God's presence. And when the presence of God begins to build up in a service, that's when heaven drops. That's when the prophetic word drops from heaven. And again, if we don't have time really for God's presence, we probably won't have a strong prophetic flow in our local assemblies. One of our core values at Crusaders Church is to have a church full of God's presence. And when we press into God's presence, we love worship. We spend quality time worshiping. Of course, our service lasts from 10 to 1, so we have 3 hours. And it's plenty of time to pray, worship, praise, prophesy, preach, and then minister. I know all churches don't have 3 hours, but we do, and we want to keep it that way because we love God's presence. Again, the Lord drops his prophetic word. The word drops from heaven. This is the result of the presence of the Lord. This happens often during worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. The presence of the Lord will manifest as a result of praise. The presence of God causes us to worship. Worship is our response to his presence. Again, worship is a response to God's presence. Now, prophecy, remember, prophecy can either be spoken or sung. You can sing it or you can speak it. So you can sing prophetically. It's called the song of the Lord, the prophetic song. So when heaven begins to drop, sometime he drops new songs and we sing the prophetic song. Often churches are locked in the singing recorded or rehearsed songs. And there's nothing wrong with singing or rehearsed songs, but there should be a time in the service when we are open to God dropping new songs. And when your praise leaders have been trained or your praise singers have been trained to allow the word from heaven, when it drops on them, they know how to sing the song of the Lord, sing the new song. Unfortunately, often praise singers and worship leaders have not really been developed in the song of the Lord. And so when heaven begins to drop, if they don't have faith to release that song, it'll hinder the flow. But when you train worship leaders and singers to sing the song that drops from heaven, your services will be filled with new songs and prophetic songs. It's one of the most powerful experiences you can ever have. It's really Jesus singing through us, through the Spirit of God. It's really Jesus singing praise and worship to the Father through us. It's one of the great mysteries of Christ being in his church, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now the word can drop, and prophets can get a word that way and prophesy, or a song can drop from heaven. And when that drops, they can sing the song of the Lord. The singers can sing prophetically as a result of Netaf. These songs are from heaven. They are dropped from heaven. These songs can drop on anyone in the congregation. Another Hebrew word translated prophet shows that prophets speak what they hear from God or today from the Lord Jesus, and they do not speak on their own. The Hebrew word netaf, sometimes translated prophet, again, means to drop, drip, or distill. Now, I want to go back to that point. One of the definitions is to distill gradually. So sometimes we found in our services that the word doesn't come right away as we begin to worship. It distills, it builds up, and then it begins to drop. Sometimes we need to spend more time in worship to allow the word to develop gradually. And you'll find the service will begin to take on a certain flavor, a certain flow, a certain theme. You may be prophesying about the glory of God, healing, restoration. It's unlimited what you can speak prophetically. And really, God never wants any two services to be exactly the same. Every time we come to service to worship God, it should be a new experience because God knows the needs of all the people in the congregation. He knows what he wants to release to us. So sometimes we have to allow the service to build up. One of the dangers is when prophets, as soon as the service begins, they try to jump out and begin to prophesy before there's a strong presence. And they don't allow the word to distill gradually, to build up, and the fall from heaven. Just like rain, sometimes you see the clouds and it takes time before the rain falls. The cloud of glory can build up in our church services, and then if you give it just some time, it doesn't have to be a long time. It could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. There's just an outpouring of these words that begin to come. Prophecies, songs, Nataf. This is one of the most powerful things you can experience. I love to be in services where it just gradually distills. You start off singing. You don't know where the service is going, but you keep pressing in. You keep worshiping. And before you know it, the cloud of glory begins to develop over that service, and heaven begins to drop these words and begins to drop these songs. So again, the Hebrew word Nataf, sometimes translated prophet, means to drop, drip, or distill. Its uses include a rain distilling and dropping from the sky. And that's really what prophecy does. It's like rain. It refreshes you. When the word comes, it brings such refreshing, such strength, such life. It's like rain. Rain in the Bible represents life. It represents water, represents life. It represents refreshing. It represents falling on dry ground. When people come to services and they feel dry, they feel as if their life is dry spiritually, and the rain of prophecy begins to fall, they begin to receive the refreshing and the life of God. It is amazing what this type of prophetic unction does. Again, it means to distill, drop from the sky. It also means to drop out of someone's mouth. When prophets would prophesy, they would drop the word. So it's similar. It can drop upon you, but it can also fall from your mouth. So sometimes when prophets prophesy, it's like they're dropping the word from heaven on people. It's like rain falling from heaven. It means to drop out of someone's mouth. It represents wine dripping from the mountains in paradise. You know, in the book of Joel, it said that the mountains shall drop sweet wine. What a powerful word. It's like wine. Wine, of course, represents the blessing of God. It represents prosperity. It represents healing. It represents the Holy Spirit. So it can fall like water, or it can drop like wine or grapes being squeezed from the mountains. Although prophets are called to drop words where and when God demands, the more obvious thing we learn from the top is that God drops his words upon the prophet. It means, as Strong's Concordance says, to speak by inspiration. This means that the message the prophet brings is not his own message, but the Lord's words. And furthermore, it implies that many times the prophet may not know much of the message when he starts prophesying, but that the words drop upon him and he speaks them as he gets them from God. This dripping, or this dropping rather, causes us to sing inspired songs. Songs of inspiration are prophetic songs. The singer is inspired by God to sing a new song. Churches must allow God to drop these songs during worship. We should not quench the manifestations of the Spirit of God. Notice this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit. This form of singing develops gradually as we ascend in worship. Sometimes you can't rush it. You have to allow it to build. Sometimes I've learned that singers are too in a hurry to sing something. Sometimes we just need to worship and allow the Spirit of God to give it to us. And then suddenly we begin to sing, and it just starts off as something small, but the more you begin to sing, the more it develops, the deeper the song gets. I've seen this operate in our church almost every week. It is amazing what happens when this distilling, this dropping begins to take place. So this form of prophecy distills gradually. Now, sometimes when you're prophesying to people, you don't have everything when you first begin to give them the word of the Lord. It begins to come gradually. Sometimes when I'm prophesying to people, God will give me a few words, and I'll begin to speak those words, and then other words will begin to come, or to begin to either bubble up on the inside of me, or it just fall upon me like rain from heaven. It just drops upon you. And when it drops in your mouth. And when it drops in your mouth, you release that word. But sometimes it comes gradually. Even the word develops. I prophesied over people and spent many minutes doing it. Not trying to prophesy too long, but even as I begin to prophesy and that word begins to distill, it begins to drop, the word, it begins to build, it begins to go deeper, it begins to go into other areas. It may not have started off that way, but it begins to develop. And so sometimes you cannot rush this kind of prophetic ministry. The Hebrew word netaf means a forming, developing word like ruminating on food. This form of prophetic utterance is slow to develop and comes like the dawn. It is possible to write such inspiration down and deliver it. An example of this is found in Job 29 and 22. After I had spoken, they spake no more. My utterance fell gently on their ears. As he spoke, they had unfolding revelation or understanding of God's word to them. Again, to distill means to appear slowly and in small quantities at a time. This cannot be rushed. It will take some time for these songs to be released. It will take some quantity time in worship. The prophet's words reveal the gentle heart of God. Again, sometimes it falls like a gentle rain. It's really a part of the prophetic that shows the gentleness, the kindness, the refreshing, and the blessing of heaven. It's not necessarily a booming, rebuking word, a blasting word. Some prophets think every time they prophesy, they've got to rebuke and blast and cut, you know, and give a hard, harsh, condemning word. No. Sometimes the word is like rain. It's very gentle. It can come out strong, but it can come out also gentle. Again, the prophet's words often reveal the gentle heart of God. Their words distilled and dropped like dew and gentle rain. Netaf, again, means to ooze, to distill gradually. By implication, to fall in drops, and figuratively, to speak by inspiration, to drop and to prophesy. This word not only shows the gentle side and nature of prophecy, it also reveals that prophecy can come slowly, bit by bit, with pauses, short or long, between the parts of each complete revelation. Netaf also means to ooze. Ooze means to progress slowly but steadily. Netaf was one of the spices used in the anointing oil. The Hebrew word for this spice is netaf, which means a drop. Further study reveals that it is a gum rosin that oozes from the bark of the tree and is used also as an expectorant. What an interesting word. Psalm 68 and 8, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped. Prophesy at the rain falling at the presence of God. I want to emphasize that presence of God, because when we have God's presence, when you feel God's presence, it's very easy to prophesy. Because when the presence of God comes upon you, God drops his word. Or when the presence of God comes in a worship service, sometimes when I stand before people, I feel God's presence come upon me and the word drops from heaven. It drops in my mouth. And sometimes, again, it means like rain, like gentle rain, like the dew of heaven. It falls gradually. It comes. And sometimes it doesn't have to come fast. During a worship service, we found that sometimes we begin to sing prophetically, and the song of the Lord begins to come. We begin to sing it. We begin to prophesy it. And we just wait upon the Lord. We don't rush it. We allow the Lord to keep dropping it. Comes like rain. Comes like dew. And then it just, God gives us more of the song, and we develop it. We begin to sing it until finally it's just a breakthrough of God's power, refreshing, healing, miracles, deliverance. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be a part of a prophetic company of believers. And I trust that what I'm sharing is stirring you and also maybe even answering some questions about how God deals with you. Because sometimes things happen to us by the Spirit of God, and we don't know exactly how to explain it unless we go to the Scripture. And we see exactly what the Scripture shows us, the word dropping, the word distilling, the word oozing, the word falling like rain, like the dew, the word coming upon you in that way. And when you begin to understand it, you begin to understand the different ways we flow prophetically. Now, again, there's the nabi. That means to bubble up, to stir up, to flow out of your belly. You feel it stirring up. That's N-A-B-I. Then there's nataph, N-A-T-A-P-H. It means to fall like heaven, to come like rain, to fall to bring refreshing. Our doctrine, our teaching can also fall like rain from heaven. It can bring refreshing. It can come like the blessing of heaven. So that's a short teaching on the Taf. I have some questions I want to get to and answer. And so let me begin with the first one. When we prophesy to an individual, does intellectualism, thinking too much, can ruin the flow of the prophetic? What are practical ways to gather our thoughts before we give the word to an individual? Well, that's a very good question. I like that, Terry. He comes every week. Thank you, Terry. Yes, your mind can block the prophetic flow. Sometimes we can think too much. Instead of allowing the word to come to us in our spirits and our mind being the channel through which it flows, we try to figure out too much how to say it, what to say, what is God saying. It can really interfere. One of the best ways to overcome that is sometimes before you prophesize to speak in tongues or pray in the spirit shortly, because when you pray in the spirit, you're praying out of your spirit instead of praying out of your mind. Your understanding is unfruitful. So sometimes if you have a lot on your mind, a lot of thoughts going through your mind, you've had a busy day, and you get up to minister prophetically to someone, if you just begin to pray in the spirit and then pray in tongues, and it kind of shuts your mind down, and you begin to flow out of your spirit, then that word begins to bubble up and begins to come forth, or just drops from heaven. But your intellect can block you. For instance, I've given words to people, and the word didn't make sense. And if I thought about it too much, I'd be afraid to give it. I heard it, I saw it, I see something, I hear something, but it doesn't make sense. And so I remember let me give an example. I was preaching in Florida, and I got up to prophesy over an individual, and what I saw was him with a bunch of surgeon's knives. When you're in an operating room, they have knives and different surgical equipment. And so that didn't make sense to me, because I didn't know whether the person was a doctor, a physician, and I saw these tools. And so in my mind, I said, "Now, I don't know what to say. This doesn't make sense." So I went ahead and released the word and found out that he actually worked in a surgeon's office with surgical equipment. And that really helps me, because it confirms that when you're hearing from God, you know, it gives you confidence that you're not crazy, that God is speaking to you. Okay, let me go to another question. How do you distinguish between what your natural mind is thinking and what God wants to say? Well, that can sometimes cause people to get in trouble, because sometimes people can prophesy out of their mind. The best way I can explain it is that when you prophesy out of your spirit, it's almost like you're prophesying out of your belly, and it's really not a product of your mind. Your mind is the channel through which it comes, but it's deeper. You feel it deep in your spirit, and one of the ways. Again, if you begin to pray in the spirit, you begin to get the thoughts and mind of Christ. And when you begin to develop the mind of Christ and by the anointing of God and the way the word comes to you, you'll know that it's not just your mind. Now, when it's your mind, you'll tend sometimes to stumble in your words because you're thinking too much. You'll hesitate in your words. When it comes out of your spirit, it's a greater flow. It just flows. You're not trying to figure it out. You're not trying to, you know, your mind is not playing tricks. It just flows. And the more you do this, the more you learn how to flow out of your spirit and out of your belly, the less you will have this problem as to find out whether it's your thoughts or whether it's your spirit speaking. Okay, let me go to another question from, I think it's Cheryl. What do you do if your gift is not received by your leaders? You've been given personal prophecy and corporate prophecy to leaders, yet your gift isn't acknowledged. What do you do? Well, that's a common problem that many believers have. There are believers that are prophetic. They're sitting in churches that are not prophetic, or the pastor does not have an apostolic mentality to release people. And often, prophets and prophetic people can dry up and die in those churches. Your gift can almost die because it's never honored. One of the principles of the prophetic is to put honor on people. Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown because there was no honor placed on his life. When people honor your gift and your calling, it's much easier for you to flow. And unfortunately, if leaders don't acknowledge, I would actually go and sit and ask them, you know, I tell them, I believe I have a prophetic gift and a calling, you know, can you help me? And if they're willing, and ask them, what can you do to help me? If they tell you, we don't believe in that, or I don't believe you have a gift, or you'll never operate in this church, then chances are you probably won't be able to stay there and develop your gifting. But sometimes leaders unknowingly are hindering people. It's not that they're bad people or they're doing it on purpose. Sometimes they unknowingly do it in just going and talking with them. And then if they don't help you, or it's not a prophetic culture in the church, or prophets are not acknowledged or released, or prophetic is not developed, and this is a problem. In most churches, the prophetic has not been taught or developed. And that's why I spend so much time teaching, writing, and encouraging people to operate in this, because I know there are thousands of people around the country and around the world that have these gifts and callings and words, but they have no one to train them, no one to help them, no one to encourage them. Often they're discouraged and frustrated, and that is not the will of God. So I believe that every church should have a prophetic culture, and you need to be around prophetic people to help develop your gifting and your calling and really begin to move more in the prophetic. All right, let me give another question. This is from, I don't want to misspell your name. I just read the question. Are there Natap and Nabi prophets? Prophets that operate mainly in Natap or mainly in Nabi, but not in both. Personally, I mainly operate as Natap, but as I remember, only once I received a Nabi prophetic word. Yes, there are people that are more Nabi than there are Natap. I tend to be more Nabi. I tend to feel it stirring inside of me. But the Natap does drop on me, especially in worship. There's some that can flow in both. And there's some prophets that are more visual. They see things. There's some that hear it clearer. There's some that feel it, impressions in their spirit. So, yes, different prophets and prophetic people do operate in different realms. We can't make everyone the same. So whatever you feel comfortable with in, whatever stirs you, flow in that. If you're more of a Nabi prophet, I found that most people tend to be more Nabi than they do in the top. So it's not unusual to see Nabi people flowing. And then, again, the Natap people generally are the worshipers, the people that it falls in the presence of God, and there are prophets that can operate in both. So keep moving in what God is calling you to move in. Okay, Allison, what is the best way to introduce the prophetic to children and youth? Oh, that's great. Children are very easy to train prophetically because they don't have a lot of religious hindrance, a lot of religious teaching to block them. And we train children the same way we train adults. We activate them, we teach them, you know, we get them into worship, we get them in the presence of God. We teach them, now what are you hearing, what are you sensing, speak it out. We teach them how to speak it out and get them comfortable with speaking from God and get them developing a flow. It's very easy to train children. We ought to do this more instead of giving our children coloring books and puppet shows. You know, God didn't have us just entertain the children, but train them and develop them. They should be flowing in the prophetic at a young age, and so I encourage you to do it. And keep it simple for them. Don't make it all complex. You ain't got to go into the top and not being the Greek and the Hebrew. Just teach them how to flow and release what God gives them, and allow children also be in activations. Now, I'll do some teaching on activation in the days to come, some of the ways we activate people that can help you to know some of the prophetic exercises. As a matter of fact, we also have some of the activation exercises in our book, God Still Speaks. In the last chapter, we have prophetic exercises to develop believers. It's in the appendix, and some of the ways we do our prophetic activations. So again, I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book at our website at johneckhartministries.com. Order it, read it, and there's some prophetic exercises in that particular book. Thank you, Allison. Okay, my friend Marlon. Okay, God bless you. I know I got to be anointed to answer this one. How important is it for prophets to be a part of local churches? I've seen a lot of prophetic people and prophets using the term, I just go where God wants me to go. How do we deal with these kinds of people? Well, some of them need deliverance. You need to cast the devil out of some of them, but I'll leave deliverance to another time. Yes, I believe prophets should be a part of a local church. As a matter of fact, all of these gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are designed to function within the body. They're not designed to be separate from the body. They're designed. Another reason why prophets should be in a local church is because prophets need to be accountable to other prophets and also to a leader, apostle or pastor, because often prophets can become emotional, they can get rejected, they can get hurt, they can get bitter, they can get in the wrong spirit because of rejection, because of things they deal with. If they're not submitted or accountable to authority and someone to pray for them, prophets also need to go through deliverance on a consistent basis. Every believer does. And so a prophet needs to be in a local church. We don't recommend that someone just shows up at the church and say, I got a word, but you're not accountable to anybody. We don't know who you are. We don't know what your background is. We don't allow people just to prophesy over us, and there's no way of making them accountable. Because if someone does something wrong in the prophetic, then who do you go to? Who are they accountable to? If they ruin someone's lives or gives a false prophecy or takes advantage of someone, who do you go to? Who are they accountable to? Who can correct them? So it's important that prophets be in a local church. And don't, listen, let me say this. Let me elaborate on this. Don't look at the prophetic the same way you looked at it in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, the prophets were primarily dealing with rebellious Israel. So they were persecuted, killed. They were dealing with apostate Israel. It's different in the New Covenant. The church should be a place where prophets are welcome. The church should be a prophetic community. So prophets should not be persecuted and beat up like they were in the Old Testament. Sometimes New Covenant prophets have an Old Covenant mentality where I'm beat up, I'm rejected, so I'm not going to be in a church. I'm just going to go in a cave. I'm just going to go from place to place. No, the church should be a prophetic community where everyone prophesies. Prophets feel at home. They're welcome. They can function. They're not beat up, persecuted, and run out. And it'll be a place where apostles, prophets, and every gift is allowed in the local church. And so I do think that prophets should be. And also prophets often can hear the voice of God for everyone else, but sometimes have a difficult time hearing it for themselves. So they need to hear people that can speak into their life. David, even though he was a prophet, had prophets and seers in his life. Nathan, Gad, that they were seers that helped David. So even though he was a prophet, it does not mean that he didn't need other prophets. So as a prophet, you need to be in a prophetic community and be in a local church. Thank you for that question, Marlon. Okay, Tamara, I've talked with my leader before about my gift, and we have not been able to conclude what we discussed in ordaining me. Should I talk with him again? Yes. Yes, because this is your destiny. This is your purpose. Sometimes leaders get busy, they forget. But you have to stay on this because, again, this is your purpose and your destiny. You don't want to be sitting somewhere waiting for years and years and years and nothing happens and time goes by and you wasted years waiting on someone, you know, to respond. You need to be a place where you, your leader, helps you develop your gift. A part of a pastor is not just having members. A pastor's calling is to develop the gifts and callings and anointings in those members, to release them into their destiny, to teach them, to train them, to prophesy or ordain and activate them, correct them. It's more than just coming to church, preaching a sermon, and having a large membership. Okay, Matthew, I keep hearing apostolic prophet. What does this mean? And is there such a thing? Okay, I usually get more words after I prayed and given a prophecy after walking away from a person. What do I do? Okay, well, when you walk away from people, sometimes you do get things because your gift has been stirred up. Try to release the word when you can. If God gives you something else, you can always write it down and give it to them. Apostolic prophet is simply a prophet who is around the apostolic, has an apostolic impartation. And I believe that all prophets should be apostolic. I believe that all apostles should be prophetic. Your main calling may be prophet, but you can have an apostolic dimension, which is being sent. And especially if you're around an apostle, if you're in an apostolic church with an apostolic leader, you can be an apostolic believer, an apostolic evangelist, an apostolic teacher, an apostolic prophet, because that impartation, that dimension comes to add to your gifting. Or you can be a prophet that's prophetic, or an apostle rather that's prophetic. I consider myself to be a prophetic apostle. I'm an apostle, that's my main gifting, but I love the prophetic and I do a lot of prophesying, but my main primary gifting is not prophet. I'm primarily apostolic, but I'm prophetic because I've been around the prophetic. I've been around prophets. I've been trained, activated to flow in the prophetic. So that's basically what an apostolic prophet is. It's a prophet. Sometimes I would consider Samuel to be a type of an apostolic prophet, a prophet that raises up others, trains others, travels, preaches, teaches, raises up schools, really does an apostolic work, even though they're not technically an apostle, they're prophets, but they do something apostolic, pioneering, building, teaching, raising up companies. That's what I consider an apostolic prophet. Okay, thank you, Matthew, for your question. What does it mean to have a prophetic mantle? Well, the word mantle in the Old Covenant was simply a symbol of the prophetic. A mantle can be the anointing. A cloak represented a mantle being covered by the anointing. So it's just another way of saying that I have a prophetic anointing, a prophetic grace, I have a certain mantle. The mantle represented authority. It was a sign of the prophet. Elisha had a mantle. Elijah caught that mantle. He used that mantle to open the river. It was a sign of the authority, the power of the prophet. It was something natural that the prophet wore. So you don't have to literally wear a physical mantle today. It was a type of something spiritual. So you don't have to wear robes and dress up as some, you know, prophet, you know, with a robe on to be a prophet. I generally don't wear robes. I don't condemn those who do, but I generally don't like robes. But if you do, fine. But you don't have to put on some robe and, you know, saying this is my mantle and walk around trying to impress people. It's something spiritual. It's something symbolic of being covered by the grace and by the anointing of God. Thank you. This is from Terry again. When we prophesy to an unbeliever, should we be encouraged to pray in tongues with them? In evangelism teaching, I was told it will confuse or frighten an unbeliever speaking in tongues before giving a prophetic word to an unbeliever. Well, it's interesting. In the scripture, tongues is really a sign for unbelievers. In 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy was a sign for believers. I found that often when I can prophesy, but sometimes in church, I'll give a message in tongues and interpretation, and I've often wondered what's the difference. And the Lord, usually when there's a lot of unbelievers in our church, the Lord will have me give a message in tongues and give the interpretation. There's something about tongues that really does catch the attention of the unbeliever. They're amazed by it. It's something that is used by God to catch their attention. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's, you know, you'd be afraid to speak in tongues before an unbeliever. You'd be surprised at the power of tongues to an unbeliever. Of course, I don't believe you have to stand there and speak 15 minutes in tongues, you know, because they wouldn't know what you're saying. But I would not negate the power of tongues. I don't believe there's really a scripture for that, because again, tongues was a sign to unbelievers and prophecy was a sign to believers. Okay. Hopefully this is Keisha. Good to see you. Sometimes leaders are hesitant about releasing people to operate in gifts because of their level of maturity. So many can't even handle loving correction now. What do you say to a leader who wants to make sure it's the best time to release people? Well, every pastor has to know that you can't ordain, and when you talk about ordaining and releasing people, there has to be a maturity there. There has to be the right timing. One of the worst things you can do is release someone prematurely. So many pastors are afraid to release people because they don't see the maturity. Another thing you have to deal with is pride. You don't want to release people too quickly because you don't want them to get puffed up if they're used by God in the prophetic or any other area. So I have found that if you put a person with the team, someone they're accountable to, and that person is seen to develop character, they walk in love, maturity, honesty, integrity, they have the fruit of the Spirit, then you can pretty much begin to promote that person. If a person is in a team, but they have a lot of double-mindedness, a lot of insecurity, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of unresolved issues, then, of course, they cannot be promoted. They have to be receive deliverance. So sometimes these things that come out in people as they interact with people. That's why I don't encourage people to be long rangers, because when you interact with people, your true character will come out. And I hate to say it this way, but the troublemakers and the people with issues, they'll manifest, you know, over a period of time just by dealing with people or by receiving correction or by, you know, telling them they can't do something at a certain time. If you don't see that humility and that grace, then you just cannot release them. But you can love them, pray for them, teach them, explain to them what you're doing. Tell them, you know, I believe in you. There's a gift, but we need to develop some things and give them hope and train them. And then at the right time, release them. Thank you for that good question. Okay, I was saved 3 years ago. I'm in divinity school. I'm new to the area of finding it. I'm new to the area and finding it difficult to find a solid local church. I have a strong call in my life, but I struggle daily with my faith. Okay, what I would encourage you to do is to find a strong church. It may not have everything, but if it has a good, strong leader who's a woman of integrity, if it has good Bible preaching, if it has praise and worship, allow the Spirit of God to move, I would encourage you to find a church. It shouldn't be hard to find. It may not be everything you want, but there are good churches in every region. And it may be something where you're going temporarily, just for a season, until God shows you a place where you really belong. And some people struggle with that. But if you go to a church for fellowship, teaching, presence of God, worship, it may not be prophetic, apostolic. It may not cast out devils, prophesy, and do all these things. But at least it's a place where you can go and, you know, be loved and have fellowship and know believers and pray and worship and receive good teaching, good word teaching. If there's a prophetic apostolic church, there's a person of integrity leading, go there. But, you know, don't just stay home and say, I'm not going to go to a church until I find the perfect church. No, find a good, basic, Bible-believing, spirit-filled church in your area. Stay there. You may outgrow it. You may have outgrown it when you get there. But until you find a place where you can be divinely ordained, released, activated in your gift and calling, that is better than nothing. Okay. All right. Are you? Hopefully, you're still hearing me. Let's see. I'm gonna select a few more questions. Can one person walk in all fivefold gifts? I generally teach that, you know, a person doesn't have all fivefold gifts. Because, you know, you're not Jesus Jr. And you're not no one else would need you. You'd have everything. I believe that people have a dominant gifting. Your highest calling would be your dominant gifting. I believe that you can walk in several gift callings, like myself. I'm more of an apostle teacher. I have a gift of apostle, but I also have a gift of teacher. My apostle is my highest gift, so I really make sure I gravitate toward that. My teaching helps supplement my apostolic gift. I've seen people that are prophet teachers, or I've seen people that are apostle evangelists or apostle teachers. I've seen people that are apostle, prophet, and even teacher. But generally, I am not, for instance, I am not an evangelist. I get people saved. But that's not my primary calling. That's not my dominant gifting. I get people saved through my apostolic and my teaching gift, but my primary gift is apostles. I generally don't, you know, encourage people to, you know, say they're all fivefold gifts and ministries. Okay. Thank you for that question, Jack. I think it's Jack A or Jack. Hopefully, I didn't say your name wrong, Jack. What can you say to someone who does not believe in prophets for today? Well, not much you can say to them. You know, that you're dealing with unbelief. They don't believe in prophets. Then one of the ways I say is, then if you say I don't believe in the prophetic, I say, well, how do you hear from God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Does God speak to you today? You know, for instance, there was a leader that says he doesn't believe in prophets or prophecy, but then he said the Lord laid it upon his heart. Did you know, share a word? Well, how, even in preaching. Well, how does God lay things upon your heart? Is that through the Holy Spirit? You know, people say they don't believe in the prophetic, but they say things like the Lord is leading me, or I prayed and God showed me this. Even people don't believe in the Holy Ghost say that, and they get up and preach. I was praying and God told me to preach this. You know, they'll say things like God told me, or God impressed me, or God laid it upon my heart. You know, but they say they don't believe in prophets or the prophetic. If people don't believe in prophets or the prophetic, chances are they're not going to move very much in the prophetic. They're going to have a very low level of hearing the voice of God because of their unbelief. So all you can do is pray for them, love them, bless them. Don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. You just move in what you believe and let God's blessing be on your life. Okay, let's do a few more. What is the difference between a watchman on the wall and a seer? Well, they're very similar. In the Old Testament, seers were prophets. They saw. They saw things by the Spirit of God. The seer is the same as a prophet. A watchman was also a prophet. When they saw things, they would pray. They would intercede. They would stand on the wall. So it's just different words. They really describe a different aspect of what a prophet's ministry is called, or an intercessor, or a prophetic intercessor, or a prophet, or a seer. Okay, I'm going to do a few more. If my church does not promote the prophetic, and I know I am prophetic and have had prophesied, I am, what should I do? I love my church and pastor, but I feel I cannot move in my gifting. Well, you love your church and your pastor. I'm not telling you to leave, but you have to go somewhere where you can get some prophetic activity in your life. If you have to visit another church, go to a prophetic church. You have to go somewhere where your gift is stirred and activated, and you're around prophetic people. It doesn't mean you have to join the church. We have people that come to our church all the time that are not members. They come for the prophetic, and then they go back to their church, and the church doesn't flow on the prophetic. Now, personally, I wouldn't do that, but some people do it because they love their church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't die in your gifting. You have to get around the prophetic. Sometimes people are very strong in the prophetic, and they're in churches that don't flow prophetically, but they have a grace to stay there. It doesn't bother them. But they do have the ability to minister prophetically in some other area. So it depends on the person. Some people just leave the church altogether and find them a prophetic church because they say, I can't do this. It depends on your level of grace and what you can do and what you cannot do. Thank you for that question. Let me go to this one by Terry. Interesting fact about worship leaders, psalmists singing song of the Lord. What are the great challenges of training worship leaders, musicians singing the song of the Lord unrehearsed? Well, you have to. Sometimes you can do it in your rehearsals before you do it in the service. Have rehearsals where people are allowed to flow, because you can mess up in a rehearsal and it won't be a big deal. But start doing it in rehearsal. See, sometimes rehearsals are just we come, we get some songs, we learn them, then we sing them on Sundays. Sometimes in rehearsals, we need to allow the presence of God to come, and we begin to flow prophetically and train them in rehearsal and get them flowing in the song of the Lord. It's the same as activating people in prophecy. Get them, instead of saying it, they sing it. Demonstrate it before them. Get someone that knows how to do it. Let the person demonstrate. When someone is strong in this area, they can come lay hands in part, activate that in other people that are not strong. Bring in someone who's strong in the area to work with your team. Bring in a singing prophet, someone who's a strong psalmist, prophetic psalmist, to come in and work with your team. We have many in our church that work in with the teams, and they go to different places and train. So those are some of the ways you can get the song of the Lord moving and activated more in your church and in your church. Okay. This is by, Vion. I see in the spirit, but the way that I see is not 100% clear. However, I understand what is going on clearly. How do I enhance my vision? Well, some gifts, the more you move in them, the more they'll be enhanced. Just keep doing it. Pray that God will give you more clarity. The more you stir and exercise your gifting, the sharper it becomes and the better able you're operating. Sometimes it takes time to really develop your gifting and be comfortable moving in it. So don't panic. All you can't see what God doesn't show you. All you can see is what God shows you. And if you don't see it, you don't see it. Don't panic. Just go by what you see. Ask God for clarity. Ask God to enhance your vision. And ask God to give you more. Okay, let me do a few more, because these questions are coming in. How do you know what is your calling or gift? Okay, all over and over I've been told about there's a calling in my life. Well, one of the ways you can learn your gifting is through prophetic ministry. Sometimes when we get prophets around people, we prophesy over people. Sometimes we actually prophesy what their gift and calling is. Sometimes the prophets can actually identify gifts in people. Sometimes they can confirm what a person's gift is. That's why I encourage everyone to get strong prophetic ministry. In our church, we have prophetic presbytery. We have a ministry, a minister we're activating and releasing, ordaining. We always bring the prophets and the apostles around. We begin to prophesy. We begin to identify those gifts and callings, begin to confirm them, begin to impart to them, because the person then hears from heaven what their gifting is. You also know your gift by basically what you're doing, what you like to do, what is your passion. Are you evangelistic? Are you prophetic? Are you teaching? Are you pastoral? Are you apostolic? You know, what is your passion? What stirs you? What do you get excited about? If you're not excited about something, that is not your gifting. So you can find out what your passion is, what your gifting is, because you always gravitate toward your gift and your calling. All right, thanks for that question. Let me do one more. This is from Rodrigo. Oh, good to all the way from New York. Oh, good to have you on. What are some things you might recommend to help develop the gift? Okay, developing the gift. Number one, be around other prophetic people. Number two, be around activations, exercises that get your prophetic stirring. Number three, be in a place where you can consistently flow in the gifting. Number four, fast. Fasting really sharpens your gift and makes it clearer and easier for you to flow. Do some time fasting and praying. Pray in the Spirit. Another way, stay in the Word. The Word of God helps you. It develops your gifting. It strengthens your gifting and your calling. Another way, we love the presence of God. worship. When you get God's presence, God's word drops on you, that also stirs the gift. And then God said, stir up the gift of God. That's what Paul told Timothy. Stir up the gift of God. Don't sit on your gift. Don't let your gift become dormant. Don't be discouraged. Don't shut your gift down. Don't say, I won't do it. Don't hide. Don't run away in fear. Stir it up. Keep it moving. When you keep stirring your gift, you'll develop it and you'll see it functioning more and more. Okay, before I leave, I do want to encourage you again to get this book, God Still Speaks. You can go to our website, johneckhartministries.com. Also, if you're viewing the telecast on our Crusaders Church website, crusaderschurch.org, you can also donate and bless our ministry. If you've been blessed by the teaching, I encourage you to sow a seed. We're trying to do more, touching more people around the world, and we really desire you to be a blessing to us. If I've been a blessing to you, then you'll be a blessing to me. And that money will not come to me. It'll go into our ministry and help us to keep reaching the nations. So don't forget that donate button. Doesn't have to be a large amount. Just sow something. And I believe that God will give you an abundant harvest. And then I'm going to be announcing the next program. Also, we're having our Apostolic Roundtable in the month of March. And if you want information on that, you can go to our Impact Conferences website. And you can look that up. I believe it's impactconferences.com or .net. I'll find out exactly what it is and give it to you. .net. In impactconferences.net. And if you're a minister, you want to come and we're going to have an apostolic roundtable in the month of March. We meet on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have discussion. We're going to be talking about the prophetic. You'll be around other prophetic people. If you're a minister, live in another city, come to the Chicago area and be with us. You don't have to be a member of Impact. You can just be a minister that wants to be around other prophetic people. We'll prophesy. We're going to lay hands. We're going to get teaching. It's always great. It's very informal. You know, we just sit, talk, dialogue. We have people coming from all over the country. So feel free to go to that website, impactconferences.net, and look it up and come and visit us. Register. You need to register for that particular time of sharing our Apostolic Roundtable in the month of March. It is .com. Thank you. It's impactconferences.com. Forgive me. Impact Network. I-M-P-A-C-T. Impact Network Conference.com. Is it conferences or conference?
Conferences.
Impact Network Conferences.com. So remember that. Impact Network Conferences.com. Well, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord that's being released even now. Hallelujah. And as I prophesy, Lord, I thank you that your word comes even now and it even begins to fall upon many of those who are viewing this program. And the Lord says, many of you have experienced the dentaf, the dropping from heaven. It's fallen upon you. You said, oh God, what is this? The Lord said, I come to give you clarity. I come to give you understanding. I come to give you insight into the operations of my spirit. For I'm raising up a prophetic company in this hour that shall experience the rain from heaven and the fall from heaven, and the glory of God shall fall upon you. And I'll drop my word in your mouth, and you'll release my word, and you'll drop my word upon other people. It'll bring refreshing and blessing and deliverance and healing and restoration. So be encouraged, my people. I bring you to a place of knowledge and understanding, and no longer shall you walk in ignorance and darkness and fear, but I begin to bring light and understanding into your life that you might know how I'm dealing with you and how I'm flowing through you. And I shall cause my river even to flow through you. I shall cause it to bubble up on the inside of you. I shall cause it to fall upon you. Many of you shall experience both the Nabi and the Natab. I shall bubble up inside of you. I shall drop my word from heaven, for this is the hour when my presence comes strong in your midst, and heaven's clouds shall overshadow you, and heaven's rain shall fall upon you, and I shall cause refreshing and blessing even to drip and distill upon your life. So do not be afraid when it happens, but oh, press into the Spirit and move into the Spirit, for the cloud of glory is coming into many houses and many churches, and you'll not just not know what to do, but oh, you'll know how to live under the cloud, and how to minister under the cloud, and how to speak under the cloud, and how to prophesy under the cloud. Oh, you'll not be afraid of the cloud, but you'll live under my cloud of glory. and my rain from heaven shall drop upon you. So allow my cloud to come upon your life, and allow my cloud to come into your city, and allow my cloud to come into your church. But yes, it is a glory cloud. It is a cloud of blessing, a cloud of healing, a cloud of restoration, a cloud where the rain falls from heaven, and you shall begin to see blessings coming in your life and upon your church that you've never seen before. For as the rain falls from heaven and the snow covers the earth, even my word comes and it shall not return void, says the Lord. So, oh, receive the cloud and receive the rain and receive the snow from heaven, and allow my word to cover your earth and cover your land, and allow it to spring up and allow it to come forth, and allow my blessing to spring in your life, and new things are coming forth, and you'll begin to operate in realms that you've not operated in before, and places where you've drawn back. I give you a new confidence. I give you a new boldness. I give you a new assurance to step into those realms. Oh yes, don't be afraid, but step into those realms of the Spirit. And I encourage you this day, and I speak my word over you, and I activate those dormant things in your life, and I cause those gifts to be stirred up inside of you, said the Lord. And those who draw them back because of fear and apprehension, and those that have been afraid, and those that have been beat down, know I lift you up this day, and I stir you up this day with my prophetic word, for it comes to you now to liberate you and to release you into your destiny and into your purpose in the days to come. Father, I bless everyone that is viewing this telecast, this program, Lord, and I pray your peace, your favor, your shalom, and your blessing come upon their life. I bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust you enjoy this time. I love ministering to people. I love teaching. I love answering the questions. Pray for me. Again, if you want to donate, go to our CrusadersChurch.org page, sow a seed. And again, I'm going to be with you next week, sharing with you a part three of Prophetic School. And I'll give you the exact time when I'm going to be doing it. And until you hear from me again, as always, may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. God bless you.